Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes the time leading up to Christmas is a time of surprises. Surprise is a gift that it just bowled you over. Now let's be honest, I'm not talking about faking like you're surprised in order to be polite, but genuinely surprised by a birthday gift. Many, many years ago, probably when I was in middle school, my sister bought me a book of Norman Rockwell painting. Appreciate Norman Rockwell, but that was a gift that just bowled me over. Well, in the New Testament reading, we have a group of parents who the scripture politely says were well beyond the age of childbearing. And not only when Elizabeth became pregnant with a son in her old age, but even more so at his birth, one can sense the joy and the excitement that this child brought to this family, the extended family, and to their town and community. The child was a gift from God to a set of parents in their later years. But even more important than that, when Zechariah will express in this song of praise to God, this child will grow up to be a prophet who speaks for God the good news of the Messiah who will come soon after John's ministry. So first I want to speak about Zechariah joyfully praising God for the Messiah in his saving work. Luke 1:68 says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and accomplished redemption for his people." I want to reflect on these two merciful acts that God does for his people. God visits his people, Zechariah says. God throughout the Old Testament period appeared in dreams, visions, or through an angel of the Lord. He gave messages to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets. God gave the prophets of the Old Testament his word, but we don't know the specific methods how they received that message. We're told in summary that the word of the Lord came to so-and-so saying. We're not told in detail how the prophet received that word of the Lord. But there's examples of God visiting his people through these visions, appearances, and revelations. Another way that God visited his people in the Old Testament was God supernaturally providing for his people. Examples of this type of divine visitation is when God brought the plagues on Egypt, which eventually caused Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. And then God divided the Red Sea. He provided manna each day for the Israelites during their 40-year journey in the wilderness. God also gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. He provided water out of the rock. He caused Aaron's rod to bud, confirming Aaron's authority over the people of Israel, and in many other ways gave visible demonstrations of his presence among his people. The Lord's methods of visiting his people and providing for their needs varied from occasional to constant. Zechariah's song of praise to God contains elements of prophecy in which he foretells the coming of Jesus Christ and the ministry of his son, John, preparing the way for Jesus Christ. I want to focus on the beginning words of Zechariah when he says that God visited his people. By reading the whole prophecy that Zechariah gave, we can better place God's visitation of his people in its proper context. Zechariah is clearly speaking of his son preparing the way of the Lord, where he says in Luke 1:76, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways." Since Luke 1:76 focuses specifically on John the Baptist preparing for the ministry of Jesus Christ, it's legitimate in this same context to interpret the visitation of God to his people as the coming of Jesus Christ as God and man. Jesus Christ's visitation as God the Son was a visitation that covered his entire life. Many visitations of God in the Old Testament occurred in messages to an angel that were for short duration. They appeared for a morning and afternoon. When Jesus Christ came, he visited us for all his time on earth. The length of Christ's life on earth, it was God visiting his people. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The law was given in through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God visited his people in the person of Jesus. God also accomplished redemption for his people. We see the redemption of Messiah in specific ways in Zechariah's song of praise. In Luke 1:71 through 75, we hear of this redemption in terms of salvation from our enemies. There is a spiritual and religious aim behind the deliverance of our enemies. It's that God's people may serve the Lord without fear and serve God in holiness and righteousness, which are the gifts that God gives to his people. There is no doubt that to the ears of many Jewish people living at this time, that being told of God's deliverance from their enemies, to their ears probably meant God's going to rescue us from Roman rule and oppression. At the time of the exodus of Israel from Egypt, God liberated his people from their enemies, so that they would be free to worship and serve him. In due time, God's people would learn to interpret Zechariah's words not in a nationalistic political sense, but that Christ would bring us deliverance from sin, Satan, and death, which are the more fundamental enemies that we have, much more than any political enemy. God shall deliver us from our enemies through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, God visited and redeemed his people. Secondly, Zechariah joyfully praises God for his son John and his ministry. The people gathered at the time that John was circumcised asked Zechariah a rhetorical question in Luke 1:66. What then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. Zechariah answers this question in part by pointing to the prophetic ministry of his son. Zechariah has called his son the prophet of the Most High in Luke 1:76, and in Luke 1:77 and 78, he spells how his son will go on before the Lord to prepare his way. In these words, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. It is the active mercy of God that forgives us our sins and brings us to a knowledge of salvation. We are saved from our sins based on God's mercy and not any merit of our own, but solely based upon the compassion in grace of God. It is John the Baptist who will point the multitudes who followed him, and even John's own disciples, to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, as John 1:29 records it. John himself testified that he was not the Messiah, but bore witness and pointed to who the true Messiah was. John could not save people or forgive their sins, but he faithfully proclaimed who could. He also called people to repentance and to tell them of the one who could save them. When John goes on to speak of the saving work of the Messiah, he speaks of it in terms of light and peace. The light that Messiah brings is the truth of God's saving mercy. Matthew 4:4 4:14 through 17 speaks of the beginning of Christ's ministry in the regions of the towns bordering the Sea of Galilee in this way. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land in the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The light spoken here is the truth of Christ as Messiah, who has not only come for the people of Israel, but also for the Gentiles, for all of us, the Goyim, the nations. Jesus has come for us. To all who call upon the name of Christ for salvation and the forgiveness of sins. This truth, this light has dawned on those living in darkness. What Zechariah prophesies concerning his son John is that he will proclaim the coming of Messiah. He will point to this one who is the light of the world. Jesus proclaimed as John did, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom has come in the ministry of Jesus as the Christ. He is the King of God's kingdom. He is the light that dispels the darkness of our sin. While John the Baptist bore witness to the light, Jesus himself was the light. Jesus proclaimed throughout his ministry the truth that he was Messiah. He made this proclamation slowly at first, but ever more clearly as time went by. He also performed miracles of healing, miracles of spiritual deliverance, and miracles of nature to confirm the truth of his message. The concluding note that Zechariah speaks of is the peace which the Lord will bring about for his people. Luke 1:79 says, "He will guide his people into the way of peace." Jesus Christ brings peace with God and man by the work of himself as he died on the cross. Christ's redeeming death is also the foundation for God's people to work for just, righteous, and peaceful relations with one another and within our community. The Apostle Paul urges Christians with these words in Romans 12:18. "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." Even though this verse implies that being at peace with everyone is not always possible, the Apostle Paul does urge each Christian to take personal responsibility and to do our part in working for peaceful relations with all people insofar as that is possible. In this season of Advent and throughout our lives, may the message of John the Baptist soak into our hearts and souls as we reflect on God's mercy in the sending of Jesus Christ, whom John the Baptist would point to and proclaim. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for the faithful service of John in proclaiming Jesus as the Christ and the Messiah. Help us this season and always to be grateful and joyful that you have given us new life in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.